Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we set the risen Lord before us in this moment, let us always set him before us in our hearts. Care for us now in this word. Let Christ, who is at your right hand, be at our right hand, guiding us into all truth as your word is preached. May it find open, receptive hearts, living hearts. May we lay hold of this risen and ascended Savior now and always, that we may never be shaken. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll read the passage we are focusing on again. John 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. As we focused, as I said, on Good Friday, on Christ's care for us from the cross, I want us to see three ways Jesus cares for us by looking at the three things that he says to Mary here. And Jesus, we see, shows his care for us at the empty tomb in three ways. First, he meets us in our sorrow. Second, he knows our name. And third, he wants what is best for us. We see him caring for us in that he meets us in our sorrow. He knows our name. And he wants what's best for us. So first, he meets us in our sorrow. It's interesting as you look at this story, how it plays out. Mary goes to the tomb first, right? She finds it empty. And then she runs and tells Peter and John, and they come running. They find the tomb empty. They go in. They see. They believe, it says. And then they run off. And it says at least John understands that Jesus is risen. Right? He believes. But they leave Mary behind, and she's still weeping. She has the same facts, but somehow she's interpreted them entirely differently. Even when angels appear in the tomb, she tells them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." She assumes Jesus is dead, right? The strong understanding that has just come into her mind over the last couple of days, that of all people, Jesus has died, that still is gripping her soul. And so the body, it must have been moved. Right? In the face of all this evidence, her sorrow grips her heart. And so it says four times in this passage, it makes reference to her weeping. And after the angels, Mary meets Jesus even. And she doesn't recognize him. And she thinks he's a gardener in the face of her risen Savior. Mary is weeping. Now, you might imagine that Jesus, instead of speaking to her like this, he might just say, "Mary, it's me." But Jesus doesn't do that. And there's something very tender about the way that Jesus addresses Mary here. He cares for her as a sorrowing disciple, even when the sorrow is, for all intents and purposes, uncalled for, Nevertheless, she's sorrowing, and he addresses her tenderly. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And I think that's very comforting for us today. Because on Easter of all days, we have no business being sad. Right? There's joy all around us today. And of course, every Sunday we should remember the resurrection of our Lord, especially this day where we celebrate with Christians around the world. Right? Death is defeated, sin has been conquered, life is ours forevermore. But it doesn't mean that some of us don't come here with sorrows. I'm sure none of us could say today that we come here perfectly happy. In the face of overwhelming blessing, you may find yourself here today and sorrowful. And your Savior knows. Jesus knows. He knows your sorrow. And he meets you where you're at. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? These words are meant to bring Mary along and bring her to realize who she's speaking to. Jesus is leading her out of her sorrow and into joy, but he still meets her in her sorrow. And that is what Jesus does with us, is he meets us in our sorrow. He meets you in your sorrow. And he wants to lead you into the joy of glorying in his resurrection. So that's the first thing that we see here. Jesus meets us in our sorrow. And the second thing that I want us to see in Jesus' care for us is he knows our name. Right? Jesus asked this first question, and it leads Mary just to express her love for Jesus. She says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." This is the sorrow of a disciple who dearly loves her Lord. Even if she could only have his dead body, she'll take it. And then when he has drawn this expression of love from her, Jesus only needs to say one word to her. And it's her name. Mary. Mary. It's a wonderful word. It's the single word that would wake her up to the reality of Jesus' resurrection. This isn't a gardener. This is someone who knows my name. This is Jesus. And just as surely as Jesus knew Mary's name and called her by name, he knows your name. And truly, there's nothing that rouses us as Christians from sorrow, from sadness, than this reality that Jesus knows our name. It's a wonderful illustration of something Jesus already said in the Gospel of John, that he's a good shepherd, and he says he calls his sheep by name in John 10. And here he is calling his disciples by name. And here today he speaks to us, and he knows our name. You are one of Jesus' sheep, and he knows your name. You're precious to him. Now, admittedly, we hear her response, and it might surprise some of us because she hears her name, her eyes are open, she looks at Jesus, and it's like the word explodes from her. Rabboni, right? Teacher. Might surprise some of us. Why doesn't she say Jesus? Right? That's his personal name. Why does she respond with this? Seems slightly formal, seems like, you know, kid with their schoolmaster, right? Why, Rabboni? Seems impersonal. But I think the reality is there's really nothing more personal in the world, because when Jesus turns our sorrows into joy, don't you find it that what you're astounded by is not just that there's a person named Jesus who knows your name, but that it's not just any person, it's your Lord. Right? It's your teacher, and he knows you personally. It's not just any person, it's Jesus, your teacher. And so she shouts, Rabboni, my teacher, the one who is a teacher who knows me. And that's what often astounds us, is that it is our Lord, our God. He knows our name. He knows our name. He knows your name. He cares for us this way. Lastly, I want us to see that he cares for us in wanting what's best for us. As this word, teacher, explodes from Mary, it appears that she seems to lay hold of Jesus, either hugging him, or perhaps people speculate, falling at his feet and grasping his ankles in a sign of reverence. But Jesus has one more thing to say to her. Right? Verse 17, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This again might strike us as odd, almost like Jesus is distancing herself from her, right? Hold on, get away from me. Don't touch me, this is a brand new body. But it's not that. Jesus is teaching Mary something very important. Right? She sees him before her and says, wow, Jesus is back for good. There's more teaching, more miracles. Things get to be back the way they were. But what Jesus is showing her is things are going to be different from now. There's no going back to the way things were before the cross. And in fact, there's something far better for Mary than to have Jesus on earth with her and the disciples. And it's his ascension. I have not yet ascended to the Father. You might be wondering, is that really better than Jesus on earth? Jesus in heaven? Is that really better? It is. And Jesus indicates why that's good when he commands her. He says, go, right? Tell my brothers, say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And we heard on Friday that Jesus cares for all his people as his family. And we see that again here. He's referring to his disciples, but he calls them brothers. He specifically says, go and tell my brothers this. Right? Our Lord, Jesus, he's our brother. He's your older brother. Right? Because you're a Christian, you've been adopted. And this is what he says here. He says, his Father is now your Father. His God is your God. Right? Jesus is saying that by grace, he has brought us into the relationship that he has with the Father by nature. He is the Son. And we are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And he's saying, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He's basically saying, I'm going to be your representative. I'm going to be my little brother, my little sister's representative in heaven with our Father. Right? He's saying, I'm going to the Father's right hand. And so he gets to speak to our Father now as our advocate. And he gets to take the Father's gifts, our Father's gifts, and distribute them to us because he's in heaven. That's why we see that Jesus first ascends and then he pours out the Spirit on the church at Pentecost. He's gone to the Father and he's gone to take our Father's gifts to us and bring them to us. Because he's ascended and at God's right hand. So he's saying, by my resurrection, God is now definitively your God. My Father is definitively your Father. I'm going to secure a place for you and bring the gifts of the Father down upon you. And that is what's best for us. We'd like Jesus here. But Jesus wants to enjoy the Father's blessings that he has for us. And the fullest way that is possible for us is for him to go into heaven, secure that place for us in heaven, and give us the Spirit. He's being a good older brother. He's looking out for us. That's the care he has for us. He gives us what we need most, fresh grace, his Holy Spirit, to grow us, to purify us, and make us look more like part of his family. And so we see, this is how Jesus cares for us at the empty tomb. He meets us in our sorrows to bring us into his joy. He speaks our name to us, assuring us that he knows us. And he knows and wants what is best for us and will give it to us. He will go to our Father's side and care for us from on high. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we have such a good Savior, a Savior that cares so deeply, who on this day even, when we come in different conditions in our hearts, in our bodies, and we hear these words, we know Jesus is able to meet with each one of us and minister to us perfectly and care for us. We pray that you would please do this in each one of our lives. Make us please to enjoy the risen and ascended Christ today. Lord, to rejoice in it, to humble ourselves in his presence, to be amazed that Jesus knows our name, and to give thanks, Lord, that he is on high, giving us all that we need as our older brother. Lord, we praise you, Father, for this wonderful news and this wonderful care. We thank you for all this. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.